So today we have this great solemnity of the Epiphany, a word that in Greek means to make manifest, to make known. We know that when Jesus was born in the little cave in Bethlehem, there were very few people there, just Mary, Joseph, and some shepherds. And today, with the arrival of these three magi, these magicians, astrologers, we don't really know who they are or exactly where they're from, maybe Persia. With their arrival, we acknowledge that Jesus has been made manifest now, widely known to all people. Because these magi are Gentiles, they're not Jewish. And so Jesus is not just for the Jewish people, he's for the whole world. And that's what we celebrate today on Epiphany. Now, it is a great day that we celebrate. It is the chance to take the three wise men that normally live on the shelf over there, I saw. They're off the shelf now, and they got to join the other crowd at the little manger scene. So that's exciting. And maybe you put your kings in your manger scene at home too. But I think more than just remembering 2,000 years ago, there are some lessons that the Magi have to teach us even today. In fact, there are three of them that I want to boil it down to today. And to make it a little easier, there's one letter for each of the 3 points. P, A, and X. P, A, X. And for those who are of the more sophisticated type here or just getting ready for trivia night, that spells pax, or in Latin, that means peace. So P-A-X, pax, peace. We'll hope that by the end of this homily, we'll arrive at some peace from the Magi. So first, P. P for pay attention. The Magi were paying attention. The first thing we can learn from them is P, pay attention. Now, they were looking up at the sky. They're looking at the stars. And this reminded me a lot of this last year where we had the great eclipse of 2017. And so many people were looking at the sky. I had a chance myself to be someplace where the clouds were clear and I got to see the whole thing, and it was amazing. And it was also nice because it was kind of a communal, almost liturgical event. I was there. There were people all around me. People went to parking lots and campgrounds, and this eclipse, everybody knew it was going to happen. In fact, the ancient Egyptians who learned how to calculate eclipses, they would have been able to say that on this date there would be an eclipse. So everyone was ready for this great sign in the sky, and at least most everybody was ready. I noticed that traffic still stopped on the interstate, and some people, despite all the warnings about wearing your glasses, still looked right at the sun as if they didn't know what to do. But most people were prepared for this eclipse. The Star of Bethlehem seems to be something much different. It wasn't the kind of event that anyone would just be able to look up at the sky and be blinded by it or need glasses. It obviously had to be something more subtle, because apparently only these three magi saw it. Herod missed it. Everyone in Jerusalem missed it. Why? Well, we don't know exactly what the Star of Bethlehem was. But whatever it was, it had to be something that you needed to be paying attention to see. Now, as a scientific kind of person, I have a degree from the School of Engineering, like Father Brian. And I love engineering, physics, astronomy. I love astronomy. And it always kind of bugged me when the scriptures tell us that a star led the Magi and then pointed out the very house where Jesus was. It just didn't make sense to me as a scientist. How can a star point to something on Earth? I mean, even the sun, our closest star, that doesn't point to anything. And the stars that are even further away, as a Boy Scout, I know how to navigate by the stars. I can find direction, but stars don't point to things. So this always kind of perplexed me, and I thought maybe the scriptures aren't really accurate. Well, turns out that later I found an astronomer who was doing a class who, with modern computers, we have software that can plug the entire movement of all the stars into a computer, and you can run it backwards in history to any day that you want. And so this astronomer ran it backwards right to the time of Jesus' birth to see if there was anything in the sky that was unusual. And you can take this or leave this. The church has no particular teaching exactly what the Star of Bethlehem was. But this astronomer noticed that at the time of Jesus' birth, the planet Jupiter, traditionally the father planet, that's what Jupiter means, powerful father, the father planet, the mother planet Venus, and the king star Regulus, all came together so that it looked like they almost overlapped. Now, this would make a pretty bright light in the sky, but not something that everyone's going to look and say, oh my gosh, you know, what's that? But if you're paying attention, like the Magi were, they look at the sky every night. They sit on the roof of their house, and without the light pollution that we have, they look up, they see all the stars, they're paying attention, and they say, hey, look at that. The father planet, the mother planet, and the king star are all right together. We've never seen anything like that in our lives. What does this mean? And then they notice that, well, this is all taking place in a constellation that points to those Jewish people over west in Jerusalem. They were paying attention, and so they saw this subtleness in the sky. But if they're paying attention and they're doing their studying, it made sense to them, and they saw it. So the Magi, first of all, give us this example to pay attention. Because the truth is, God also gives us signs. God is giving us signs all the time. Little subtle voice in our head, maybe urging us on to be more holy. Give this up. Take on that. Hopefully we can recognize that voice. The question is, do we pay attention to it? Or rather, is God's voice drowned out by many other things? Because the truth is, we as humans can pay attention to a lot of stuff. You know, we can pay attention and know who won or lost that stupid football game last night. Everybody knows that. Probably a lot of people know exactly the stats and how many passes were completed and dropped and what the officials did. And we can probably name all that. You probably even know, some people, how much money the Royals are supposedly going to offer Eric Hosmer to come back next year. A lot of people can probably watch the news 24/7 and are very well informed. Lots of people here probably pay attention to the news and can tell us exactly what's going on in Washington right now, in all of the political intrigue. It always gets me a little bit when we see videos on the internet that sometimes you'll see, like, college kids, they'll go ask, you know, can you tell us who won the Civil War? Or what year did America gain their independence? What does the 4th of July celebrate? And it's like crickets. Nobody knows. But you ask them, this Hollywood actress, who's she married to? Well, no, she's married to this person now, but she got divorced with this other person, and now he's kind of dating this person, and you know everything about what's going on in Hollywood, who's dating who, what the gossip is. We have an amazing capacity to pay attention to things. The question is, are we paying attention to the right things? Do we know more about the statistics of the Chiefs or the Royals than we do the Bible? Little test. Of all the things you pay attention to, can you even remember what the first reading was? What book of the Bible did the second reading come from? We just read it. But were we paying attention? Or are we already thinking about maybe what we're going to do after Mass? And how long will Father Sean's homily be? What are we paying attention to? The Magi paid attention to the right things. It was subtle, but it was enough. So P, pay attention. Pay attention to the right things. Secondly, though, then A. A for act. Act. The Magi didn't just see the star. They acted on what they saw. They could have just stayed in Persia and said, isn't that neat? We'll write about it. We'll put it in a book and we'll file it in our library. They didn't do that. They saw this great sign and they were willing to get up and go. And they went on this long, arduous journey across a desert to get to Jerusalem. And now, we know in history that lots of other people have also seen the signs that God have done and have acted on it. We think of great scientists that have looked at the sky and the motion of the earth. We think of, like, the priest, Copernicus, who first figured out that the earth revolves around the sun. He was paying attention, and he found God in this. Or we think of Gregor Mendel, the monk who invented modern genetics. He paid attention to the way pea plants reproduce and wondered, why is it that some dominant traits are expressed and recessive traits aren't? He paid attention, and he figured out the mystery of God in genetic multiplication. He acted on that. Or maybe even just outside the realm of science, we think of a great human example like Mother Teresa. Now, Mother Teresa paid attention and saw a man under a bridge dying, and she acted on it. She said, not only do I see him where everybody else seems to not pay attention, she paid attention and she said, I'm going to do something. I see this man dying and I will act on that little voice in my heart that says, help him. And she helped him and she helped others and she kept helping and helping and helping and acting on that little voice that God put in her head. Because see, it's not enough just for us to hear God's voice or maybe even intellectually assent to God. We have to act. There are lots of people today that describe themselves as spiritual, but not religious. Well, that's saying, like, I look at the world and I can see, yes, there's God. But then there's this not religious part that says, I'm not willing to do anything about it. I see God, I know there is God, and that's nice, but I'll stay at home in Persia, and I'm not going on a journey. Religion means that we tie back, is what it means. We have an obligation to act, to do something. Notice what happens with Herod, though, when the Magi arrive. They show up, and I got to think it had to be pretty embarrassing, that the whole point of the God's chosen people was to be paying attention and waiting for the Messiah. They arrive, the Magi, at Herod, and they say, where is he? We've come to see him. And Herod's like, see who? Like, he was born the king. It's like, oh, hold on, let me check. He goes and is like, let's dust off the scripture. It's like, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? And they look it up, and it's like, well, it's in Bethlehem. And he has to send the Magi off. You guys go check it out, find out. Pretty embarrassing when the whole mission was to be ready for the Messiah and to act and welcome him, and they missed it. So I think one of the dangers for us then is not that we're going to miss the second coming of Jesus. It's going to be so obvious, no one could miss it. But I think we might be not ready. We might not be paying attention, and we might be ignoring God's voice and not acting on the inspirations he gives us. So we've got to be able to act and be willing to go on that journey. Pay attention, act. And finally, the last thing that the Magi did that is a good example for us, X. And I'm going to bend the rules of English a little bit and say that X will stand for exchange. Exchange your path for God's path. Notice at the end of the gospel, although it's on the page turn there, Deacon Mark, yeah. The last part of the gospel, it says that the Magi, after seeing the Christ child, are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they go back to their own country by another way. They exchange the way they had planned for a different way, for God's way. And now that's a physical truth of what the Magi did. They literally went back to Persia by a different geographical way. But spiritually, after we encounter Jesus, we too have to exchange whatever our plans were for a different way. Because when you encounter Jesus, things simply cannot be the same. You cannot simply go back the same way. What a tragedy it would be if we today come to this altar, encounter Jesus in an even more real and tangible way than the Magi, and simply walk out the door and go on with our life as if nothing happened. We can't receive Jesus in the Eucharist and then simply walk out to the parking lot, maybe even before Mass is over, and pretend that now we just go on with our life. The Magi didn't do that. They go by a different way. So if we're paying attention, we recognize God's voice, we're willing to make that first little step to act on it, God then asks an exchange. What will you be willing to give to follow this new way? Now, the Magi gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's the best they had. That represents their whole life. Their lives were completely different. What are you willing to give after this encounter with Jesus today, even just at Mass, or deeper in your whole life? Today, the Magi invite you to make an exchange with God. What will you give God? The truth is that this is the most blessed exchange we could ever hope. We give God a pitiful little thing of whatever it is in this earth, which is passing away anyway, and we get eternal life with God. That's the best exchange we could hope. But God will not force you. So remember back to that eclipse. No one could miss that eclipse. God's offer to you is a lot more subtle. It's like the Magi looking at that star. He respects your freedom so much that he's not going to make a sign so big you can't ignore it. You have to be paying attention. He's not going to force you to do anything. You have to choose to act. And while he's going to offer an exchange to you, he's not going to force you to enter into that exchange with him. But if we are able to do what the Magi did, to pay attention, the right things in life, pay attention. If we're willing to act, to take that first little step, to say, I will do what God wants, then he will invite us into this exchange whereby we give our life and we gain eternal life. P-A-X. That's what we get if we enter into this example of the Magi. P-A-X. Pax. Peace.